BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, I'm Lauren Laverne, and this is the Desert Island Discs podcast. Every week, I ask my guests to choose the 8 tracks, book, and luxury they'd want to take with them if they were cast away to a desert island. And, for rights reasons, the music is shorter than the original broadcast. I hope you enjoy listening. My castaway this week is Sophia Loren, an icon of the big screen and of Italy itself. She was the first woman to win a Best Actress Oscar for a foreign language film, earned another for her outstanding contribution to world cinema, and has won Italy's highest film prize 6 times, more than anyone in history. Her illustrious career includes some 100 films and a list of collaborators that's a who's who of cinema itself. She was directed by Charlie Chaplin. Her co-stars include Clark Gable, Gregory Peck, Cary Grant, Frank Sinatra, Paul Newman, Marlon Brando and Richard Burton, and she enjoyed a 40-year working relationship with her best-loved screen partner, Marcello Mastroianni. She is synonymous with the very best of her home country, though growing up she endured the worst of it, facing fear and hunger during a childhood in the shadow of World War II. In the beginning, she fell in love with cinema because it provided an escape from everyday suffering. Then it fell in love with her and changed her life. Still working after 70 years in the spotlight, she says, "Today I can say I am aware of having lived a very full life and lived very intensely. I don't think I could have lived with any more passion than I have." Sophia Loren, welcome to Desert Island Discs.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Sophia, living with passion is important to you. Where do you find that passion today?
It's something that I think that you have it within you. If you have something in life that it really you want to do because it's important for you, for your life, or for your children, or for your family, if you have it strongly inside of you, I think that no matter what happens, I would do it. When it's worth it, I like to dare. Yes.
In your new film, The Life Ahead, you play a Holocaust survivor, Madame Rosa. The film's based on a novel by Romain Gary and is directed by your son, Eduardo. What made you want to take on the part?
It was very, you know, it's very difficult sometimes when you make movies to read a book and then you really think that this is the story of your, that you've always wanted to do. And that was my reaction when I read the book. Said, a story like this, maybe I will never find another one again. And I said, yes, Eduardo, let's try. Let's go. Let's go. Like a mother. Let's
yes,
go. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
The film, as you say, directed by your son, Eduardo Ponti, and it explores some big themes, aging, loss, love, mortality, big subjects for any actor and director to approach. Did your relationship as mother and son help you get to the heart of the issues in the film?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We worked together really in a very, very deep way. It was not a normal film.
It's an emotional film to watch. Was it emotional to make?
When you feel emotions in the right way, you don't even feel that you are making an effort because you feel so much inside of yourself that you become the subject that you're doing. You don't see anything else but what you're doing.
Sophia, it's time to make a start with your music today. What's your first disc and why have you chosen it?
My first selection is Ella Fitzgerald, singing I've Got You Under My Skin. It was a song that I heard for the first time in Pozzuoli after the war, of course. Ella's voice represented America to me, and to me America was so far away still at that time, because I didn't even knew that there was America somewhere in the world, because it was incredible. And Ella Fitzgerald really gave me a sense of life.
I've got you under my skin. a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so.
I sacrificed, but I know it's my heart.
Singing along with heart. Every word.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Ella Fitzgerald, and I've got you under my skin. So that track takes you home, Sophia Loren. You were born Sophia Ciccolone in Rome in a hospital ward for unmarried mothers, and you describe your mother as a restless beauty with great dreams. Tell me more about her.
My mother never knew who she was. She was a lost soul with a great, great way of wanting to do things, but really not enough strength, not enough flame inside to be able to overcome all this negative thinking and to join what she really wanted in her life. But she was a good person, a tender person. She was a good mother, and she was a good pianist. But she never, never really took care of it and become really some professional pianist and have a kind of success that she could have had.
What about your father? How would you describe him?
Well, I cannot, because I don't know. I've seen him in my life maybe twice, three times. He was handsome. He was okay. But I don't think that he was in love with her, because if you love somebody, you take care. You are with the person, especially if you have children. My God, it's a miracle to have a child. It's wonderful to have a family.
Raising a baby alone was understandably a struggle for your mother, and she went back to the family home in Pozzuoli, where your grandparents were able to help out with you and your younger sister when she came along. You were very close to your grandmother, I think.
Oh, sì, ma nonna. She was my mother, she was my father, she was my grandfather, she was everything for us. She was the head of the family. I mean, we were a family of 9, 10 people. Mm. Cousin, aunt, and we were many, many. All in one house.
And your mother was very beautiful, wasn't she?
She looked exactly like a Greta Garbo,
yes.
my mother. So, of course, and she knew, and when she started to know this, she would get makeup like Greta Garbo, the blonde hair like Greta Garbo, everything like Greta Garbo, but she was not Greta Garbo. And the people in the street would really go around her, they wanted an autograph, but it was all a joke, it was all a joke. Now I know that it was all a joke. By then, I thought she was Greta Garbo. I thought she my mother, her name was Greta Garbo. But it was not true.
But she did win a Garbo look-alike competition organised by the MGM film studio. What happened?
They wanted her in America, but my grandmother, the nonna, she said, "What are you doing? You have two children. You cannot go." Because people from a little town then, they were afraid of everything. Mm. You know, they just wanted to stay where they were born, in Pozzuoli. Mm. And what do you do in Pozzuoli? I know, because I've been in Pozzuoli.
It's time for disc number 2. Tell us what we're going to hear next and why you've chosen it today.
The second piece is the Clair de Lune de Debussy. My mother was a concert pianist and would play this piece whenever she could find a piano to play on. When I think of my mother, I get this feeling inside that is bittersweet. Sweet because she was a wonderful woman and loved her daughter so much. And bitter because she was often sad and unfulfilled. Thank you.
Debussy's Claire de Lune, played by Tomáš Vacherý. Sophia Loren, you were 5 when World War II broke out, and you've said it was the major theme of my childhood, understandably so. What do you remember about that time?
We were always in a battle with something. I didn't know what it was, but bombing and drama and falling houses and no food at all. And, you know, it's incredible because now that I'm talking to you, I'm talking about many, many years ago. And I still think about these kind of things like it was yesterday. It's very, very much alive, very much terrible. Yeah.
So it was a fight for survival until the war was over, really.
Oh, yes, yes. When the Americans came in, my God, it was beautiful, beautiful.
So that relief was obviously followed by picture houses reopening, and you were able to go to the movies. What were you watching? Were they American films?
Fred Astaire, I figured Fred Astaire, Rita Hayworth, Ginger Rogers. We loved American movies because they were beautiful houses and dancing.
So it was all about escape and glamour.
Oh, yeah.
And when you were 15, your mother entered you in a local beauty pageant and you were one of the winners. How did you feel about your looks at that age?
Well, I was, they called me stecchetto. You know what it means, stecchetto? Little stick.
Because, toothpick, because, I think we say.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because I was so skinny, I was not at all the beauty of today, Italian beauty. Nice and, you know, round. No, not at all.
In your late teens, you left home and you moved to Rome, where you found work starring in photo romance stories for popular magazines. And I think you had a bit of a flair for that kind of work.
I became a kind of, not the queen, but I was very well known. Bolero.
Yeah, you had a following.
Si. And I was going there all alone. I was about, you know, but I was like a grown-up, because I knew that my mother could not be there for what I really needed. I really needed things that she didn't think that I could. But I was okay, because I started to have fun. So if you have fun, there is always something extra that comes out, and it happened.
Time for some music. What's your next disc today, and why have you chosen it?
Lara Says Goodbye to Yuri, from my husband's film, Dr. Zhivago. This is the film that my husband, Carlo, was the most proud of. He fought for this music to be in the film. He had great instinct and was a great artist. I miss him every day of my life.
Lara Says Goodbye to Yuri, part of Lara's theme from the soundtrack to the film Dr. Zhivago, for your husband, Carlo Ponti, Sophia Loren. So, Sophia, by the early 1950s, you had gone from working as an extra, you're an extra in Quo Vadis, starring Robert Taylor and Deborah Carr, to your first leading role in an adaptation of the Italian opera Aida. Did you feel like you were on the cusp of something great?
I thought that it was very good for me to try, because I knew that I had a good ear for the music.
What was it like being on set? Were you nervous as the star?
No, not at all. I adored every moment of it. So that's how I started really wanting to be in that place many times. Yeah.
So you were getting noticed, but at the same time, and this is very hard to believe, but it did happen, some cameramen said you were difficult to photograph.
I didn't have the most normal face to be able to look good in any kind of lighting, because my nose was too big, my mouth was too big, everything was too big for them. So really, they didn't want me, because maybe the cameraman had another girl that he wanted to put in my place. It was terrible. It was a war. It was a war. But I understood that. So I said, it's okay, it's okay. And I don't have a big face that you change with this and then you put it something else. No, I had a little face. And I liked my face. I liked where I was. I liked to look at myself in the mirror when I was growing. You know, it was I owned my face, and I wanted to keep it.
In 1951, you met the film producer Carlo Ponti, who was the great love of your life. But you weren't able to marry until 1966. Why not?
He was married. Signora, yeah. Signora, what are you saying?
But eventually, luckily, you got married to the satisfaction of all the parties involved. Marriage clearly meant a lot to you, and you were prepared to wait.
Oh, yeah, always. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. When you love somebody, I think you have to wait also all your life.
Time for disc number 4, Sophia Loren. What have you chosen for us, and why are you taking it with you today?
Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra. This piece reminds me of my arrival in Hollywood in my 20s.
And Frank Sinatra was your co-star in The Pride and the Passion. What was he like to work with?
He loved his, come si dice, Trailer.
Okay, yeah.
He was staying in the trailer very often. Mm-hmm. He never sang on the set because many people, and even me, said, mi canti una canzone, per favore.
Not even for you?
No.
Okay.
No, we are shooting. Okay, okay, ciao.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
Fly Me to the Moon, Frank Sinatra. So by 1953, you had a new name, Sophia Loren, and the following year you were cast in Vittorio De Sica's The Gold of Naples. How much did that film change things for you?
Everything. Everything, because the role was perfect for me. It was a role of a girl of 16 years old, Neapolitan, no money, no food. The street was her home. And this was the character of the film. Mm. And the director was Vittorio De Sica. Mm. But I didn't know what it was acting. I didn't know what it was. Nothing. So for me, De Sica, I really have him in my heart, because with his simplicity, I really owe to him a lot of what I got from lines, from what I had to do. It was really incredible, because he did this like a teacher, but with a lot of simplicity. Wonderful person.
I know that you said that he taught you to believe in yourself.
When I was working with him, I didn't have to believe in myself. I was myself.
In 1957, you starred in your first English-language film, The Pride and the Passion. Your co-stars were Frank Sinatra, who we've just heard, and Cary Grant, who later proposed to you. You turned him down, though. Why?
Well, because I was already engaged with Carlo, I think. No? Yes. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when this kind of things happen on a set, I think that I've always been very careful about it, because a set is something, the world is something else. Mm. You know, you don't want to wake up and say, I made really something that I shouldn't have never done. Mm. It's terrible. No. I never went into that.
Sophia, I know that you were also an incredible Scrabble player and would often play on set with your co-stars. I think you beat everyone that I heard about.
No, because I was cheating. Yeah. I like to cheat because I have fun.
Yeah, so you beat everyone, but you were cheating. Okay.
It's funny. Yes.
So
yes.
Who did you play? Who gave you the most trouble?
Richard Burton. Yes.
And you beat him.
I was cheating him a lot, and then when he found out, he said, "I'm not going to play with you again."
Let's hear your next piece of music. It's disc number 5. What can you tell us about it?
The 5th piece is Oggi Sono Io by Mina. She represents so many chapters of my life. She also connects me to my love of Italy. I've traveled all over the world, but Italy is my home.
Se le parole fossero una musica, potrei suonare ore ed ore, ancora ore, e dirti tutto di me. Ma quando poi ti vedo c'è qualcosa che mi blocca, non riesco a dirti neanche come stai bene con quei pantaloni neri, come stai bene oggi, come non vorrei cadere in quei discorsi.
Mamma mia!
Oggi sono io, today it's me by Mina.
Madonna mia, mamma mia, che brava.
Sophia Loren, we've talked about some of your co-stars, but I would love to know a little bit more about some of your directors, especially Charlie Chaplin, who directed you in A Countess from Hong Kong. What are your memories of working with him?
I was always with him and trying to have always the answer to what I had to do. And if I was wrong in something, I wanted a lesson from him because, you know, you don't do a picture with this person every day. I mean, this was his last film. You know, it was incredible. Yeah. One of the greatest moments of my working life is the thing with Charlie Chaplin.
And when he was directing you, did you get the chance to kind of see him act? You know, when he was talking about scenes.
I don't think that he when you were acting, he liked everything that you were doing because he has his own acting. So if you couldn't do or you didn't think of doing the scene as he was the actor, he would do, he would say, no, that's not true. Then he will do it himself and then you have to repeat what he did. And it was nice because then there was no quarrel, no nothing. He did the scene for you. Just look carefully and just do what I did. It was very difficult to do the scene like him because another physique, another kind of acting, much more modern our acting. But he was always very convincing when he was doing it, and you had to repeat it. And when you did, then he was happy. And he was right. He was right.
Time for disc number 6, Sophia. What have you chosen?
The 6th piece of music is The Marketplace at Limoges by Mussorgsky, which is conducted by my son Carlo.
Thank you.
the marketplace at Limoges, from Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, orchestrated by Ravel, performed by the Russian National Orchestra, conducted, Sophia Loren, by your son, Carlo Ponti. In 1960, you were back in Italy, where you starred in Two Women. It was again directed by Vittorio De Sica, and it's about a mother and daughter who are trying to survive the brutal fallout of the war. You once said of that film, "Before Two Women, I was a performer. Afterwards, I was an actress." What did you mean by that?
Because you grow, and by being directed always three or four times by the same director that you know by heart, then you realize how much you learned, and when you realize that, then you're really happy, because it means that you have reached something that you could have never reached before by yourself.
The film features some powerful scenes. I'm, of course, thinking of one in particular in which your character and her daughter are assaulted by a group of soldiers in a church. What was it like shooting that?
No, it's a terrible scene to cope with from the mother and from the daughter. And then also when on the street she realizes that the soldiers have... have done with this girl something that, very bad. And she starts to scream after the car. And then kneeling down, she said terrible things to these soldiers. That is the most incredible scene. Very, very, very difficult to do. But I did it once, the one kneeling down. I did it once. The seeker, he just stood up and he was going away. And I said, "Vittorio, let's do it again. Why? Why?" Because I thought that I did a bad thing. I did a bad scene. I said, no, let's do it again. Please, let's do it again. He said, "No, because you did it so well that you will never do it as well as you did it." It was incredible. I will never forget Vittorio De Sica telling me that with one scene, the most incredible and difficult scene of the script, once.
And he made the right call. I mean, that role changed history. 1962, you won the Best Actress Oscar for that part. The very first time that the award had gone to a non-English speaking performance, you beat Audrey Hepburn and Natalie Wood, who were also nominated. But you didn't go to the ceremony. Why not?
No, because the Oscar for us in Italy was far away. It's for an Italian film, I don't know. You did not feel that it was possible. Yes, you are going to win. No.
How did you spend that night?
I was with the friends because we were doing a little party just to be together, pretending that we were not thinking that there was in Hollywood the Oscar.
Yeah.
Pretending. And then the Sika was there with me, and the phone rang and said, hi, it's Carrie. I said, yeah, you won. I almost fainted, yeah. I said, Carlo, prendi il telefono, è Cary Grant. Wonderful moments. I mean, this kind of prizes... you cannot say in words how you feel. It's impossible because it's unique, it's wonderful, it's great, it's great.
It's time for your next disc, Sophia Loren. What are we going to hear and why?
The seventh piece of music is EOC, performed by Laura Pausini and composed by the great Diane Warren from my latest film, The Life Ahead.
Quando tu finisci le parole, sto qui, forse a te ne servono due sole, sto qui, quando impari a sopravvivere e accetti l'impossibile.
EOC, I Do, performed by Laura Pausini from the soundtrack to the film The Life Ahead. Sophia Loren, I'm about to send you off to our island. Do you like spending time by yourself?
No, because I want company. I want to be with people. I like people. I would feel bad because I would feel like a prison, like something that I don't deserve. No.
And I'm sure, Sophia, that you'd be thinking of home. As we've heard, you were born in Rome, but you've said that it's very important to you that you are a Neapolitan first and foremost. Yeah. What does that mean to you?
It's because I was born in Rome by chance, but my heart and myself and my physique, it's I am from Naples. I am from this people that I've always been with them. Rome, yes, beautiful, but my life is was in Pozzuoli in Naples all my childhood. Mm. Which I think that if you are in a place during your childhood, it's a place that you will remember forever. Forever.
You can have one more disc before I send you away today, Sophia Loren. It's your final choice. What's it going to be?
The 8th piece of music is Caruso, sung by Lucio Dalla. This song reminds me of what it means to be Neapolitan.
Qui dove il mare luccica tira forte il vento su una vecchia terrazza davanti al golfo di Sorrento. Un uomo abbraccia una ragazza dopo che aveva pianto, poi si schiarisce la voce e ricomincia il canto.
Caruso by Lucio Dalla. Sophia Loren, it's time to cast you away. I can give you the Bible, the complete works of Shakespeare, to take with you, and you can take another book of your choice as well. What would you like?
Letters from a Young Father by my son Edoardo. It is a poetry book that he wrote for his daughter before she was born. It's beautiful when you see your son turn into a father.
I'll also give you a luxury item to take with you to the island. What would you like to take?
I would bring on the island a pizza oven. I cannot live without a pizza. I'm a Neapolitan, invented pizza. So if there was a pizza oven on the island, I would turn it into a little corner of Naples and it would make me feel at home. And I would eat very well.
And what is the secret to great pizza dough? I mean, in your breakthrough role, we watched you make pizza. You played a pizza girl.
You have to really have the right moment for it. It's like writing a poem, cooking a pizza. Let's face it. So if you don't feel like it, don't do it. But if you feel like it, then you have the time of your life.
Now, Sophia, within the rules, I'm not supposed to give you a luxury that has a practical application, technically, but because these pizzas are poetic, I'm going to allow it on the basis that you are going to use them to create works of art. We're going to do a Sophia Loren playing Scrabble bend of the rules for you at this point.
OK.
I've got one more question for you, Sophia, which is perhaps the hardest question of all. If you had to save just one of these discs that you've shared with us today, which would it be and why?
The last one, because I cried my heart out. It's a wonderful singer and the most beautiful words for a song.
So it's Caruso, Lucio Dalla. Sophia Loren, thank you so much for sharing your Desert Island discs with us.
Why? Because it's just finished?
That's it.
Oh, my God. Ciao. Baci, baci, baci. Ciao, tesoro. Ciao.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Sophia. I'm sure her little corner of Naples will allow her to stay connected with home and family while she's on the island, and she can also conjure up some delicious pizza toppings while she's there. Over the years, we've cast many actors away, including Dame Judi Dench, Dame Helen Mirren, Tom Hanks, Whoopi Goldberg, Rupert Everett and Helen McCrory. You can hear their programmes on the Desert Island Discs website and on BBC Sounds. Next time, my guest will be Claire Horton, former chief executive at Battersea Dogs and Cats Home. I do hope you'll join us.
A new podcast series from BBC Radio 4.
In the first stage of a poltergeist haunting, the entity will confine itself to making noise, as if it's testing its victims.
The Battersea Poltergeist.
My name's Shirley Hitchens. I'm 15 years old. I live with my mum, dad, brother, gran, and Donald.
Subscribe to The Battersea Poltergeist on BBC Sounds.